Amen and amen, church. Please be seated. We get to celebrate baptism this morning. I'm going to invite Michael and Kim and their family. This is Alexander Michael LaBella this morning coming forward for us to see. Come on up, guys. I'll stand over here. You guys kind of gather right over here. All right. Going to ask you all a question. Do you believe in Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior? You do. And will you live a life so that Alex can see the Jesus in you and grow in faith until he knows exactly what it means to be saved by our Lord? Amen? All right. And what name are we going to give this guy? Alexander, come here. I know, buddy. This is awesome. Look, you're about to go swimming. Alex, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. May the blessing of God be with you. Church, look at this. Look. Everybody's out here. Look, everybody. This is Alex. Alex, we promise. Will all of you do everything you can to help Alex grow in faith? Will you let the Jesus who lives in you shine through you so that he can see Jesus in you? Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we come before you. And God, we pray your great blessing upon Alex's life. We pray for his family, God, that they would show Jesus, that he might grow in faith and in wisdom and in stature now and forever. Amen. Amen. Alexander LaBella. Awesome. All right, I think I might have a little something here for you. Vicky, is this up here? She already did. Okay, good. You're done. Thank you. Awesome. That's the LaBella clan over there. You guys greet them after church. Make sure they feel welcome and at home here at Wesley. Well, this morning, I'm going to put together some dots. I'm going to connect some dots that most people probably haven't connected yet. But I'm hoping that this will be a great opportunity for you to learn and grow in faith. So we asked the question this morning of each other, when were you saved? How many of you had a date in mind? Anybody have a date in mind? All right, so here's what I'm going to tell you, okay? Wrong answer. Yeah, this is the key to the secret. You were saved when Jesus died on the cross. The date you have in mind is when you woke up. You were asleep before then. But your salvation rests completely and totally on the cross of Jesus Christ. That is a decision that God made on your behalf. He did not ask your permission. He did not wait until you were ready. In fact, he decided this before the creation of the world. And he kept it a secret until Jesus came and walked on this earth. And Jesus tells these stories, these parables. Remember, we talked about this. In Matthew 13, Jesus says that, he actually quotes the Old Testament and says, I will open my mouth in parables and I will utter things that have been hidden since the creation of the world. So in other words, when Jesus comes to this world, and he begins to teach in what he says and in what he does, he is saying and doing something that is brand new and has never been understood before. That this is a whole different way of realizing God's connection to us, we whom he's created. And so this last couple weeks we've been sharing, the disciples, he tells these parables, these little stories. And as he shares these stories, the disciples keep saying, well, I don't understand. How come you're doing this? And then he says, well, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. And so he does this thing where, well, it's obvious that some people are going to understand these parables, but other people are not. They just don't get it. And so what I want to do this morning is connect a couple things that we haven't really connected in the past. There are two ways of thinking about salvation. One is an old way, and one is a new way. Most of the people who don't understand the secret of the kingdom of heaven, when I ask them, do you know if you're going to heaven? The answer is, almost everybody that you know will say yes. Why? Most people will say, because I'm a good person. I'm a decent person. I don't do ridiculous, stupid things. That's what most people say, okay? That is an old way of thinking that doesn't work. And I'm going to show that to you. And so Jesus says, he comes into that situation where most people think, I'm going to get to heaven because I'm a good person. And he says, I'm going to reveal something to you that has been hidden about salvation and has been hidden since before the creation of the world. All right, I want you all to pretend that you're pirates. Oi, matey. Right? Oi, matey. All right, and you found a tremendous treasure. That's the most valuable treasure that you've ever found. And being a good pirate, what do you do with the treasure? Come on, what do? You bury it. All right, I got some pirates amongst me. So you bury your treasure, right? And when you bury the treasure, is it a secret? Where are you buried? Is that a secret? You're darn right that's a secret. Who are you going to tell? I ain't telling nobody. I'm not telling a soul. Why don't I tell anybody? Because I'm a pirate. I don't trust anybody. They don't trust me and I don't trust them, right? When might perhaps I tell someone my secret of where the treasure is buried? When might I just maybe say that? On my deathbed. I might just tell someone the secret of the treasure when I'm on my deathbed. That's exactly what's happening. That's exactly what's going on. God is going to reveal the secret of the hidden treasure, and he's going to die for it. And so, when were you saved? Let's go back to that. Tell me when you were saved. A date? No. You were saved when Jesus died on the cross. 2,000 years ago, that decision was made on your behalf. You may have, like me, when I was 20 years old, started to wake up. I don't have a date because it took me years. It took me years to sort through it and figure it out. When Paul woke up, remember on the road to Damascus, he saw something? He saw the secret. That's what he saw. He saw the secret that we're going to talk about today. And that secret came alive for him. It became real in his life. You know what he had to do? He had to go out in the desert for 2 years by himself and sort through just what this secret meant. Because all his life, he was taught the old way of thinking. And that old way of thinking is what? I'm a good person. I can get to heaven by doing good things. He's revealed the truth of the secret, and all of a sudden, boom, it's a new world. He's got to go sort it out and figure it out. And so Paul goes off on his own to figure this out. You know, in the Old Testament, there's 3 or 4 or 5 times. This is the first dot that I want to share. There's 3 or 4 or 5 times when a glimpse of the secret is given to someone. They get to see just a little piece of it. One of them is for Jeremiah, Isaiah. Moses gets a chance to see it. So a few characters in the Old Testament, they get just a chance to see a glimpse of this secret. And for Jeremiah, for Isaiah, he sees this vision. He comes down and his response, remember his response to seeing what he sees is, I'm a sinful man, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Jeremiah's response, Jeremiah has, he's like me, he has many, many restless nights. He doesn't sleep very well. You know, yeah. And so Jeremiah, all of a sudden, he has this dream. And when he comes out of the dream, he starts to talk about this new way of thinking, this revelation of the secret of the kingdom of God. And so as I get ready to connect these dots, this morning, we're going to look at the parable of the pearl, the parable of the pearl. And this is in Matthew chapter 13, as all the other parables we've been looking at this month have been. He says in verse 45, it's a very short parable. As I read it, I want you to tell me what you think the pearl is. All right? Now, before I do this, I'm going to give you a test. Jeremiah says that the secret of the kingdom of God is going to be revealed, but it's going to be different. He says it's like this. This is Jeremiah 31. The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers. When I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, they broke that covenant, though I was a husband to them. No, this covenant I will make with the house of Israel after that time, declares the Lord, and I will put my law in their minds, and I will write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, know the Lord. They will all know me from the least to the greatest. I will forgive their wickedness and remember their sins no more. So in his dream, God tells Jeremiah that there's going to be a new way that people are going to deal with God and be in relationship with God and be saved that is different from the old way. The old way was obey the law, do the right thing, and you'll get saved. Now Jeremiah has this dream, and he says, that's not how it's going to work down the road. The new way is going to be where? It's not going to be written on tablets of stone. Where's it going to be? All right, so it's going to be inside of you. There's something that God puts inside of you. He puts it in you so that you become accountable for what's inside of you, not for what you're reading on the in the book, but for what's in you. And he says this is going to be so powerful inside of you that he says you don't need anyone to teach you anything. When you hear what resonates with what God's put inside of you, you're going to know that that's true. And then you're going to have to respond to that. And he says, the new thing is each person now is accountable for responding to what God's put inside of them. Does anybody know when Peter, James, and John finally understood the secret? Anybody know? Pentecost. Thank you very much. It's not until Pentecost. The cross doesn't do it. The resurrection doesn't do it. They see those things. That does not change what they know. They still don't know. They still don't understand the stories. They still don't understand what he was saying. You ever notice how when he talks, nobody understands? Nobody understands what he's saying. But at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit comes and begins to take up residence inside of Peter and James and John. It's the same spirit that has a residence in you now. And every human being has this Holy Spirit and is responsible for that spirit because Jesus died on the cross for the privilege of putting that spirit inside of you so that you would know. He says to the disciples when he is explaining one of the parables, and they say, how come you're talking like this? We don't understand what you're saying. And he says to them, to you, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven are given. But to them, it's not. So in other words, same thing as Jeremiah. If you understand, you're in. If you don't understand, you're not in. It's just that simple. And the only way you can be not in is to willfully say no. If you willfully say no to Christ, then all that I'm going to talk about is gobbledygook. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. But if you say yes to Christ, you don't even need me to say what I'm about to say. You already know that it's true. All right, so here we have this story now. And as I read this story of the pearl, I want you to tell me, what's the pearl? What's the pearl in the story? This is a test. I want to see if Jeremiah's right. Do you actually need someone like me to explain this to you, or do you know? Okay? Ready? It's a short one. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. Looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and sold everything he had and bought it. What's the pearl? Come on. What is it? Come on, guys. Jesus. The pearl is salvation. The truth of the matter is, listen, Paul explains it like this. For by grace you have been saved through faith that is not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not a result of something that you've done, lest you end up boasting. When we look at these stories, I told you, all of these stories, they're all salvation stories. And so when a human being realizes that Almighty God came to this world and allowed himself to die upon the cross because by his blood I am forgiven of my sin that I might enter into eternal life, when that reality hits us and we go, oh my gosh, we have just learned the secret. And our result, the result of that secret coming upon us, is thanksgiving for the rest of our life, because I'm always going to be a sinner and I'm always going to need a Savior. Amen is right. I need a Savior. I am not good enough. I'm a decent person. I do a lot of good things. So what? Right? I need a Savior. This is the new word. This is what Jeremiah sees. This is what Isaiah sees. Moses sees it. Paul sees it. They see the truth of this. It becomes revealed to them. So that I am saved by the grace of God, a gift that he gives to me. And I simply live my life responding to that gift, saying thank you the rest of my days. When I wake up, what do I say? Thank you, God, for this wonderful gift of life. The Apostle Paul explains it a couple different ways. Listen to this. I want to just share a couple of things that he says about this tremendous gift, this pearl for which we sell everything. He says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. You were purchased. So honor God with your body. He says, my purpose to the Colossians, my purpose is that you might be encouraged in your heart, united in your love, that you might have the full riches of complete understanding in order that you might know the mystery of God. What's the mystery of God? Namely, Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Wow. And so I have something for me to think about. The kingdom of heaven is like a pearl. Salvation is this gift that God gives to me through the death of Christ upon the cross. Never before explained until Jesus came. And when Jesus comes, God says, I love you so much that I'm going to die on the cross for you that you might have everlasting life. Now, what the scriptures teach us is you already know that's true. I don't have to talk you into it. I don't have to explain it to you. You know that it's true. The Spirit of God living in you is resonating now, saying that is true. Now you must enter in. You must willfully choose to enter in and allow yourself to be led by that Spirit that's trying to guide you. You can willfully enter in. You can willfully exit. That's on you. And you are responsible for how you respond to the truth of this. Jesus died so that that Spirit could live inside of you, that you might have an honest opportunity to respond. And so the Apostle Paul, this is a great, great life verse for anybody who wants it. He calls this reality of the salvation that comes as a gift of God through Jesus Christ's death upon the cross. He says that when that Spirit comes and lives inside of me, that I now have a treasure inside of me, that this secret, this pearl, it begins to, this salvation lives in me. And he says, I have this treasure in a jar of clay. He calls this a jar of clay. I have this treasure now inside of me, inside of this jar of clay. And listen to what he says about the results of living your life. I've been at this for 40 years, this Jesus thing. Listen to the results of what happens if you just allow this Spirit that comes and lives and breathes through you to take ownership of your life. You are not your own. He says, I have this treasure in jars of clay that shows that the all-surpassing power is from God and not from me. That what God does in my life is from God, it's not from me. This is the great battle of today. It's the great battle of all generations. How are you going to get to heaven? Well, I'm a good person. Wrong answer. That will not get you there. That is now based on an old way of thinking, and even now, I would say, a rule that has been overcome. No, you are saved by the grace of God and Jesus' death upon the cross, a decision that God made on your behalf because he values you. He loves you and he cares for you, and he wasn't going to wait until you decided or until you were ready. All you have to do is say yes and enter in. And then he begins to reveal the truth of how you walk your lives. Here's, listen to this. We have this treasure when this happens to you in jars of clay to show the all-surpassing powers from God, not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Have you ever been hard-pressed? You guys know what it's like to be hard-pressed? Hard-pressed is when something goes wrong at work, and when you go home, something goes wrong at home, and your car breaks down as you're getting ready to go home. And then as your car breaks down, you get a phone call that somebody that you love is sick, and you're hard-pressed. You know what it's like to be hard-pressed, right? Because you've been hard-pressed, I've been hard-pressed. I'm hard-pressed all the time. All the time I'm hard-pressed. Every day I'm hard-pressed. I don't know any other way to live but hard-pressed. But you know what? Here's what happens. As you begin to allow this treasure that lives inside of you to be expressed in your life, you may be hard-pressed, but what does Paul say? I'm not crushed. I'm hard-pressed, but I'm not crushed. I know, because I've been through it so many times. I know that I'm coming out the other side of this, and I know that it's going to be okay when I get on the other side of this. I'm hard-pressed, but I'm not crushed. I'm perplexed. You ever been perplexed? I live my life perplexed. I wonder why, what, who, when, where, why, how. Perplexed means I'm confused. It means I don't understand. I don't totally get the whole big picture. That's what it means to be perplexed. I know you've been perplexed. You might be perplexed right now. What in the world's that man talking about? But you know what? Even though I've been perplexed in my life and I wonder why certain things happen. Am I talking too fast? I wonder why things happen. Do you? Do you wonder why things happen? I'm a little perplexed sometimes. But because this treasure, I've allowed this treasure to grow inside of me, I'm never in despair. Hope just there. I don't even know where it comes from. I do know where it comes from, but I can't kill it. I can't stop it. It won't go away. Even when I want to be miserable, it won't let me. Off I go. I'm hoping again. God's got something good in store for the future. I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. I'm persecuted, not abandoned, struck down, not destroyed, because we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus can be revealed in our mortal bodies. Do not lose heart. When you have this treasure, this mystery, this uttering of things that were kept secret since before the creation of the world, when you realize that they're talking about Jesus. These stories are about Jesus. These are salvation stories that are telling us, oh my gosh, I'm saved by Jesus. There is no other name. All those songs you guys sang, every single song, did you see that? Every single song was about the height and the breadth and the depth of the name of Jesus. Every single song. Why do you think we sing those songs? Because there is no other name. There is no other God who died on the cross. There is no other answer. Before the creation of the world, this was kept a secret. But when Jesus comes, he reveals the secret. You are not saved by being a good man. That will not get you in. There's a them and a there's an us. That's the wrong side of the formula. You are saved because Jesus died on the cross for you. Period. Thanks be to God. I am so thankful that he cared enough about us to come and do that. There is no other name. There is no other hope. This is it. This is all there is. This is the plan, Paul tells us, before the creation of the world. God decided it was going to go this way. So I want to make one more connection for you, one quick connection. You know, John has a vision at the end of the story, and it's the same idea. There's an old way, and there's a new way. And the old way is, I'm good enough. If I'm obedient and I follow the rules, I'll get in. There's the new way. No, you get in by the death of Jesus on the cross. That's the new way. It's a secret until Jesus comes. But Jesus reveals the secret. So listen to this. John sees this, another vision. This is Revelation chapter 5. See the lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. He has triumphed, and he will be able to open the scroll and its seven seals. Inside the scroll is what? The secret. It's inside the scroll. It's all, you know, it's like treasure buried in the sand. And whoever opens the scroll gets to read the secret. And he says, behold, the lion of the tribe of Judah, the old way, when God used to write things on tablets of stone, when he would tell you what to do written on a rock, when he would come down and he'd write it with his finger on the wall and say, do this. But he doesn't work like that anymore, because now we live in a new way. It's no longer the lion of the tribe of Judah. You don't get saved by the power of your own strength. That is not how it works. Instead, when this guy turns around, when John turns around, he expects to see a lion, because that's what we all expect of our God. We expect God to do exactly what we want him to do when we want to do it. But that's not how it works. Instead of seeing a lion, listen to what he sees. I saw a lamb, capital L, not just any lamb. I saw a lamb looking as if it had been slain. Instead of seeing the lion the old way, he sees the lamb the new way. And all of heaven and all of earth, the angels and the saints gather together. You remember what they sing? They start singing a great, great song. What's the song that they sing? Everybody starts singing when they see the slain lamb. They start singing, worthy, worthy, worthy is the lamb. Amen. You get it? You don't need me to teach you this. You know that Almighty God came to this world. He emptied himself of his godliness and took on a human form. And in the form of Jesus Christ, he became obedient unto death, even the death of a cross. That at his name and his alone, every knee will bow and every tongue confess that what? Jesus is Lord. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for the sins of the whole world. Everybody, all the angels and all the saints, sing the same song, because there's only one answer, and that's Jesus. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for an opportunity to gather together and hear from you. And we pray, God, that you would indeed help us in our need and what we want in life. In Jesus' name, amen. As we get ready to share our offering together and sing our last song, I want to give a response to you. Stand up together with me. Just real quick here. How do you feel about what I just said? Jack thinks it's awesome. Thank you, Jack. I'll tell you what it does for me. I'll tell you what realizing that Jesus died for me does for me. It gives me tremendous confidence. It's an unbelievable confidence that no matter what I face, he's going to see me through it. He didn't die for no reason. He died so I can get through it. He died to empower me. So I have this tremendous confidence because Jesus valued me. I hope you have that confidence in Christ as well. So, do you know you're going to heaven? Absolutely. Absolutely. You give your life to Christ, okay? You love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and he will walk with you through everything. Let's worship our Lord with the giving and the receiving of our gifts and sing. And as we sing, the altar's open. Anybody who wants to come forward, kneel down, and say a word of prayer, it's a great, great day to do that. And you know, you do have to enter in. You do. It's out there. He's done it for you. But you got to humble yourself and say, I'm in, God. I'm in. Let's pray and sing and